Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So, Wade, Sean had this article in here the other day about the fifth-year option. Basically, when a player's entering his fourth year in the NFL, and he was a first-round draft pick, the team has a decision to make whether to take the fifth-year option, which means that they guarantee that guy's salary. Used to be just for injury. Now it's a straight-out guarantee. And you lock him in for that extra year. So it's kind of an indication of whether that guy was worth a first-round pick or not. Because you've got a chance to just keep the guy at a pretty expensive salary, albeit, but you got a chance to keep that guy around for another year.
Right.
Are you going to use it? And the notable thing about the Texans is that they're the only team in the league that since 2011 has used the fifth-year option in every single one of their first-round picks. And I would argue that most of the time, it's been a good decision or an understandable decision to do it. The only guy that really sticks out is Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
Because he had been injured and banged up and not consistent as a player already. So it was a little bit eyebrow raising that you guaranteed a guy for injury when that was the very thing that was so bad with him. But other than that, a lot of people sometimes will say, like, well, it's easy to get your first round pick right. It's not. It's really, really not. From 2010 to 2017, only 31% of first round picks ended up getting a second contract with their same team. Like that's
a sobering number, man. Like when you think about that 31%, that's it. Like that's less than a third. Less than a third of the first round draft picks actually re-sign with the same team that drafted him, which would mean, in all intents and purposes, that was a bust of a draft pick.
Sometimes there's a new coach. Well, yeah, you're right. You know, it doesn't mean they're like a total bust as a player.
Right, they're not a bust as a player necessarily, but they're a bust for your franchise if you utilize a first-round draft pick on somebody and you don't re-up on them and they don't get a second contract with your organization. And, you know, two-thirds of the time, that's exactly what's going to happen. Looking at history, and so for the Texans to have, you know, from 2010, I think you said, to 2017, every one of them, from 2011 until now, every one of their fifth year options have been picked up, and all of them have been worthwhile except for maybe Kevin Johnson. And Kevin Johnson, at a certain point, he was a good young player. He just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, you're right. That's a really good point to make, because it's not like they misjudged his talent level
right,
or anything.
Right.
He had a very promising rookie season, and then once he got injured, I guess you know what you could say is like, okay, he had a bird-like physique, and for a guy that like loved to come up and try to tackle people with his head, he was the don't image in the safe football clinics, right?
Yes.
Like, don't tackle like this.
Yes, and that's exactly what it was. He was built like Merton Hanks, but he had terrible tackling technique. Like, he did not use technique. He was leading with his head all the time, and he had multiple head injuries over his career here with the Texans, if I remember right. Like, but that was because he wanted to come up and lay the wood, but he didn't do it in a good fundamental way. And so, that ended up costing him. But I thought he was a good football player, and I thought he was going to continue to get better if he could have stayed healthy. He just couldn't stay healthy.
But that's what drives me insane about, okay, we've been talking about since 2011 when almost all those guys, you know what, I'm guessing, I haven't looked at the text line, but I'm guessing somebody's saying something about Jadeveon. Look, did Jadeveon live up to the hype as a number one overall pick? No, but he's still a very good and productive and impactful football player. So I think that in terms of, okay, taking him in the first round, which is what we're talking about here, I think he was a fine enough pick for that. So, but if you want to add him to that list, that's still a really good hit rate out of all those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 since then, you know, only two haven't worked out so far. We'll see with Kenyon Green and Derek Stingley. But then I started going back through the entire Texans draft history. Uh-huh. There have been some lean years, obviously. But I got to say, there are really only four bad first-round picks in the entire 20-year history of the Texans. And a few of those were early on. I'd say in terms of guys that shouldn't have been drafted in the first round, or looking back, you know, it wasn't worth taking them in the first round. Derek Carr, Travis, and unfortunately with Travis Johnson, it was more that I think it was a really bad scheme fit. I think of a team that was a 4-3, like honestly, like a Lovie Smith style scheme, I think Travis could have had a much different go of it, That was, it matched what he did at Florida State. Amobi Okoye, which I still think that was Rick Smith's first draft pick. And I think that it felt like Rick was trying a little too hard to be a little too clever right there and take a guy who's 19 years old thinking like, oh, wow, we can get three contracts out of him before he even turns 30. And then Kevin Johnson, like, so four out of all those drafts is actually a really good hit rate in it. And it drives me insane that we haven't done more with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. David Carr, he's put on that list, but would David Carr have been a bad quarterback if he was put in a better situation? I don't know if we'll ever be able to answer that question. Some people might say, like, no, he was going to be bad regardless because he's just a bad quarterback, but he didn't have an offensive line. He got hit all the time, and then because he got hit all the time, he started seeing ghosts, and so when things started to get better in front of him, he still didn't trust it because – he had PTSD from getting hit upside the head all the time. So, once you ruin a quarterback or ruin a player early, it's hard for me to judge, was that really such a, like, was he a bad football player? He was a damn good football player in college. I think teams do disservices to young football players by not surrounding them with the right people early on in their careers. It's the quickest way to make somebody that once looked very talented look very pedestrian. And it's by not surrounding them with the right people and not putting them in the correct scheme for them to have success. And Travis Johnson is a perfect example of that, a guy that was, you know, a guy that could get up the field and create havoc in the backfield and be a penetrator. I mean, you put him in a defense where penetration was frowned upon. Like, let's control a guy. Let's drive a guy back a yard and a half, control him, chuck him one way or the other. Like, that's not what a penetrator's thought process is. And so you put in a square peg in a round hole, it's not going to work out for you. And so, you know, a lot of those guys that didn't make it to a second contract on that stat that you put out, that only 31% of them, I bet you a lot of those ones that didn't make it and went elsewhere and had success, it was because they weren't surrounded around by the right people or because they weren't put in the correct scheme. And so that's an organizational thing that you have to have in place in order to make sure your first rounders pan out for you.
You know what? People are bringing this point up, and this is the perfect example. I neglected to say Jason Babin, because Jason Babin was not a good first round pick for the Texans. This is exactly the guy you're talking about, Wade. Because Jason Babin went on, and a lot of people might not realize this. Jason Babin, thank you for pointing it out, by the way, Texans. Jason Babin went on to be a really productive pass rusher in a different type of scheme.
Yep.
Like he was exactly the guy that was drafted into the wrong scheme. The Texans traded up for him. He was largely considered a bust. He had, let's see, with the Texans, he had 13 sacks in 3 years, so he wasn't as big a bust as a lot of people. But he would eventually go on to Tennessee, where he had 12.5 sacks in one season. In 2011, he had 18 sacks with Philadelphia. And he played over a decade in the NFL. So,
what was that defensive line coach out there that just put you in wide nine technique?
Jim Washburn,
that dude. Those guys were a match made in heaven. You put him in a Jim Washburn defense, and he's going to ball. You put him anywhere else, and he struggled. He was just either average or pedestrian. Like that whole scheme fit idea and putting people in the best position to succeed, That is everything for the majority of NFL players, because there's only a handful of guys that are going to be great wherever you put them. It don't matter where you put them in. They're going to be great. But Aaron Donald, put him in a two-gap scheme, he's not going to be the Aaron Donald that we know right now. And he's arguably the best defensive lineman to play the game. So that, like, those type of things are important when you're talking about young players and bringing them into the fold and making them, you know, getting the most out of them and them get the most out of their own careers.
Yeah, it's we could go on and on now. I'm doing that thing where when guys sit around and just bring up names of random former athletes. I've got like 15 in my head right now of guys that I think got screwed over by the process. But we could take that on later. There is a theme of disrespect on today's show. At least once an hour, I'm going to tell you about how I'm feeling disrespected. And I got to tell you, there's something that has replaced Houston, we have a problem, is the thing that aggravates me most when said by somebody outside of the Houston. I'll tell you what it is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.